ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 29, titled, Talks Between Narada and King Prachinibhari. Text number 72. Garbhe Balipi Apauskal Yat Garbe Balipi Apauskalyat Ekadasa Vidam Tada
Ekadasa Vidam Tada
Lingam Nadisyati Yuna Drishyate yuna Kuvam Chandramaso yata Kuvam Chandramaso yata Garbhe Balipi Apauskalyat Garbhe Balipi Apauskalyat Ekadasa vidam tada Ekadasa vidam tada Lingam nadishyate yuna
Lingam
nadishyate yuna Chandramaso yata Kuvam Chandramaso yata Garbhe
in the womb
Balye
in
boyhood
Api
also Apaus Kalyat because of immaturity Ekadasa, the ten senses and the mind. Vidam, in the form of Tada, at the time. Lingam, the subtle body or false ego. Na, not. Drishyate, is visible. Yuna, of a youth. Kuvam,
during
the dark moonlight. Chandramasa,
the moon.
Yatha, as. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When one is a youth, all the ten senses and the mind are completely visible. However, in the mother's womb or in the boyhood state, the sense organ and the mind remains covered, just as the full moon is covered by the darkness of the dark moonlight. Okay, we'll read the translation repeatedly. When one is a youth,
all the
ten senses and the mind
are completely visible.
However,
in the mother's womb
or in the boyhood state,
the sense organ
and the mind remain covered.
Just as the
full moon is covered by the darkness
of the dark moonlight.
So we'll read the purport. Please be attentive. when a living entity is within the womb, his gross body, the 10 sense organs, and the mind are not fully developed. At such a time, the object of the senses do not disturb him. In a dream, a young man may experience the presence of a young woman because at that time the senses are active. Because of undeveloped senses, a child or a boy will not see a young woman in the dreams. The senses are active in youth even when one dreams, and although there may be no young woman present, the senses may act and there may be a seminal discharge, nocturnal emission. The activities of the subtle and the gross bodies depend on how developed conditions are. The example of the moon is very appropriate. On a dark moonlight, the full shining moon is still present, but it appears not to be present due to conditions. Similarly, the sense of the living entity are there, but they only become active when the gross body and the subtle body are developed. Unless the senses of the gross body are developed, they will not act on the subtle body. Similarly, because of the absence of desires in the subtle body, there may be no development in the gross body. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Tena Tasmai Shri Guruve Sri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Ena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahe Dadatisva Padantikam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. This chapter 29, which is titled The Talks Between Narada and King Prachiniya Bhavi, is a very lengthy chapter. It's got about 85 verses. We are on to the 72nd verse. So, it is a good idea to very quickly recap, right? So that we follow and pick up the thread. So, this chapter, as I said, 85 verses. What's happening with the first to the 25th verse? Narada Muni explains the allegorical story of Puranjan, in which he was talking about intelligence, body, senses, the queen represents intelligence, etc., etc. We went through that. So, 25 verses has been discussed on that. Then, verse number 26 to 33, Narada Muni gives direct description of the material existence. Very elaborate detail about material existence. Then, 34 to 41, Narada Muni ends Prachiniya Bharat performance of Vedic rituals. He puts a halt. Then, 42 to 51, Narada Muni gives direct description of material existence again. Then, 52 to 55, Narada Muni explains an allegorical story again. One more allegorical story. What is that? Second allegorical?
Deer.
About this story, the deer. Then, 56 to 59, Prachiniya Bharat, after hearing Narada Muni for a very long time, Prachiniya Bhari rejects fruiting activities and inquires from Narada Muni. These are the three questions he asks, remember? 57, 58, 59. He asked a few questions about plants matter. Then, from 60 to 69, obviously Narada Muni has to explain the process of transmigration of the soul. Now we are on to our section, which is 70 to 79, where Narada Muni further details the mind's role in the process of transmigration. Although we say that the soul is going through the transmigration, but the media in the material world is through mind. It happens through mind. Mind is a facilitator. It does the transmigration with the help of the soul. And therefore, Narada Muni is going to explain from 70 to 79. And finally, 80 to 85, Narada Muni departs. King Prachinayabhari renounces. And then Maitreya Muni offers benediction for hearing all this 85 chapter. Of hearing this, what is the benediction Maitreya Muni is going to offer? The speaker is going to talk at the 85th verse, but still, I don't want to keep in suspense, because Krishna consciousness is not suspense. What he says is, those who explain this allegorical story to others will get free from the bondage of material existence. Because it tells you everything about the body, senses, soul, transmigration, and therefore one is free from the material bondage. This is a benediction Maitreya Muni is offering to all the readers. So with that note, we start today's lecture. Yes? So, having said that, this particular section, which is going from 70 to 79, is talking about the mind's role in transmigration. Let us try to revisit one section before, which is talking about Narada Muni is presenting the transmigration of soul, about the soul itself. Now, this transmigration of soul is a fact. It is not a theory. It is not a concoction. It is a fact, which Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita verse number 2.13. Krishna explains very clearly. What does he say? 2.13. Dehi nosmin yata dehi komaram yavaram jara tata dehendra prapti dhirasatra na muhyate. Okay? Very clearly the Lord says, as an embodied soul passes in the body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. This is a fact confirmed by Krishna in 2.13. It's not just a theoretical talk, a mundane talk. It's a fact. Then, we are changing bodies. That is also confirmed by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 2.22. What is that verse? Do you know the whole thing? It's a very good verse actually. You know, Prabhu? Can you say the verse? It's a very rhyming verse. You know, Prabhu? What a rhyming verse, you know. What it says is, Krishna, just as a person puts on new garments, giving up the old ones, similarly the soul accepts new material bodies, giving up the old and the useless ones. So the body change is explained. Then Krishna also says that the mind is a mechanism behind transmigration, which is the essence of this verse. Where does he say? In 8.6, the Lord says, Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tajanti ante kalevaram tam tam eva kanteya tad. Whatever state of mind one remembers when one quits the body, that state he will attain without fail. So, Whatever we do in this lifetime creates an impression, and the sum total of all the impression will lead to the thought at the time of death, which will lead to our next body. So that is the essence. This is all the confirmed statement of the supreme authority in Bhagavad Gita. It's interesting to know that not only this culture of Krishna consciousness was prevailing in the East, but also it was also prevalent in the West. It's very hard to believe, isn't it? This theory was also prevalent. Some of the scientists and inventors in the West, especially America, they knew that the body, the soul is going to take a different body when the body dies. It's amazing, isn't it? They may not know exactly the confirmed statement as per Bhagavad Gita, but they had this knowledge. In the Western world also. So some of the scientists, you know, like Thomas Alva Edison. Have you heard of him? When I was in the school, I used to, you know, we have to read that. Thomas Alva Edison, what is he meant for? What did he discover? Bulb. He also discovered telegraphy and telephone also.
Graham Bell.
So telegraph and bulb and all that stuff, related stuff. Thomas Alva Edison. Then Benjamin Franklin.
Vedas,
correct.
Yeah.
But not necessarily, you know, they may study, they may have some exposure, right? But the end of the day, coming to the conclusion of soul is not easy. Not easy at all, right? To come out of the material existence is not easy to understand that they had this understanding. Okay, Benjamin Franklin, what did he invent? He invented electricity. Then, Henry David Thoreau, he's a reformer and a writer. And then Walt Whitman is a poet and a writer. Now all these people add this phenomena, or the thought, or you can say an understanding, that we are the soul, and when we die, the soul takes another body. It's amazing, isn't it? Therefore they deserve mention, all these scientists. But unfortunately, there are some scientists who will also not believe in the Western. For example, when Srila Prabhupada went to Moscow in 1971, Professor Kotovsky, what did he say? He's a head of Department of Asian Studies. What did he say? If the body is finished, everything is finished, Swamiji. This was his comment. And therefore, Prabhupada was surprised. You are a big professor. He said, you know, you're talking like this. So these are also some of the statements of Western people. Why? Because they don't have a firm understanding as we study Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, one should not read Bhagavad Gita. One should study Bhagavad Gita with faith. Then it will be okay. We'll move on. So in the purport, what is Srila Prabhupada talking? Srila Prabhupada is talking about three points. In the womb, the living entity has got a mind and the senses, but they are not fully developed. But as the child comes out, and as it grows, you know, like a small child, like a small boy, 7 or 8 years old or something, 9 years old, when he becomes a small boy or a girl, still they are not attracted to the opposite sex because the senses are underdeveloped. Srila Prabhupada makes a comment, underdeveloped. But when one becomes a youth, what happens? The senses and the mind are fully developed, and therefore all the problem starts. This has been explained. And Srila Prabhupada goes in the Srimad Bhagavatam Our Srila Prabhupada goes to the extent of even saying, in a dream, a man is attracted to the woman. And therefore, you know, it is so intense. Although he's dreaming, sleeping, yet the attraction, because the senses in the youth is very, very strong. This is a point he is making, with based to the extent of how the mind and the senses are so active. That's the point he is making. We will discuss a few of these points a bit later, but I'm just trying to emphasize this point. So let us see what is mind and the senses. Little bit explore. Mind is subtle. Mind is subtle. Actually, it's subtle. It's a subtle sense. It's subtle. It's full of desires. And it is a habit-forming machine. You do something today, tomorrow it wants it, and third day it will become a habit. You cannot stop it. It's a habit-forming machine. That is why, in our moment, you know, we are insisting on chanting on everyday basis. Because it's a practice. And what is the senses? The senses are like an instrument. It's an instrument to enjoy the mind's desires. Mind is producing desires and the senses are given to enjoy. For example, in my mind I'm thinking, 11 o'clock I'm going to see a movie. Bollywood movie. I'm going to see. And therefore what I need? I need my eyes to see. So, at 11 o'clock, the mind will say, okay, come on, let's see a movie. So, I need the eyes to see. The eye is an instrument to enjoy. And it sees. Interesting, it is said that the mind, right, is full of desires, right? It is compared to an ocean. And then, the senses is like an instrument which is compared to a cup. How can you empty a cup or fulfill a cup, a small cup, using a small cup, you're fulfilling the desire of an ocean? Is it possible? A big ocean is there and I've got the small cup. How can I satisfy by drinking or pouring it out, whatever maybe you're doing? It's not possible. So the mind desire is vast, like this. And the senses are only very small. That too, when I say senses, I mean the sense organ. Because as we discussed in one of the previous classes, the senses are already in the mind. The mind and the senses is a package. This is a sense organ. It's external. Okay. So when we say senses, the moment we see it is stored in the mind. So sense and mind is one unit. And comes the sense organ, different organs for enjoyment, for tasting the sense object. Now in this regard, the Supreme Personality of God, Sri Krishna, in his conversation with his very dear friend, Uddhava, in the 11th canto, 13th chapter, Lord is discussing one pastime about the mind and the senses. He is saying to Uddhava, Lord speaks to his friend, dear friend, Uddhava, in the material world, the people are overwhelmed with the sense and the sense object because of the mind and the senses. And they are stuck with the three modes. They catch it and it's very difficult for him to escape that. This is how I have created. Krishna is explaining how he has created. Because this is a desire of the living entity, the Lord declares, and therefore it catches. Then he further goes, the Lord further goes and explains to Uddhava, I would like to narrate one incident just to tell you the overpowering reason. Of this senses and the sense object, how they are binding a living entity. He says, I want to give you an example, one illustration. Many time back, Krishna says, Brahma had four sons, right? Mental sons, four sons, right? Headed by Sanaka. Now, what are the? Do you know the name of the four sons? Sanat Kumar. Four sons, mental sons he had. Now, one of the sons headed, or all the four sons headed by Sanaka, once went and approached Brahma. My dear father, you are the creator of the universe. You have created the living being with the senses and the mind. Don't you know that? The boys are asking Brahma, don't you know that when the living entity sees an object, the object is lodged in the mind and the mind is attracted to the object. For example, I'm looking at this. It is lodged in my mind and I'm thinking of this. You have created like that. If that is the case, how can the living entity come out of the material existence? You have locked them. Like for example, you're calling someone into the house and you lock them and you say, don't go out, I will not leave you. This is what you have done. My father, why are you doing that? What is the reason behind that? Then Brahma got bewildered. Yes. Because Brahma was in the, his duty is to create material bodies, he was in the mode of passion and therefore his mind was stuck. See, when we are in angry or when we are in the mode of passion, we cannot give complete knowledge to others. Our mind will freeze. Now, the similar thing happened to Brahma. He could not answer that. And then what he did? As a devotee, as a pure devotee of the Lord, immediately he worshipped the Lord. Lord, please help me. My sons are asking me questions. I cannot answer them. I am the big creator. Then the Lord came, a swan avatar, and he highlighted to Brahma. What did he say? Brahma, you have created because I have asked you to create. You are the secondary creator. I am the primary creator. You have done it like that, correct. But there is only one way. Krishna says, we always create something, but there is a solution to that. The solution is, unless you bring me between sense and the sense object, there is no way living entity can be coming out of the material existence. For example, if I like this, if I keep on looking at this, I will like it more and more. That is lodged in my mind. And the desire to keep it, touch it, feel it, will become more and more for me. Therefore, Krishna says, the only reason is, bring me between the sense and the sense object. Once you bring Krishna, then automatically that will go. This is exactly what Srila Prabhupada has done this moment. This moment is exactly. You want to eat. If you eat something without offering to Krishna, then the attachment grows and you become bound. Rather, you have a develop. You bring Krishna, you take Krishna prasad. You want to see something. Look at the beautiful deities. You want to talk. Talk about Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, you are free. Liberated. This is the answer which Amsavata, the swan form, came and told Brahma, and Brahma gave the reply. And the boys were happy. Therefore, what we understand? We understand that the human life is very precious. It has to go through 8.4 million species. Right? Why the human life is so important? You have heard this time and again. We'll go and see that in a minute, why it is important. But before we go, I said the human life is very precious. Srila Prabhupada, elsewhere in one of the quote, he says, there are a lot of woods for burning. In the past, in the previous olden times, they used to have wood to burn, to make heat or to cook. They use wood. There are many varieties of wood. But without knowing the importance, if I use sandalwood for cooking or heating, is it a good idea? No. I am wasting the potential. So, like this human form, is like any other form, temporary form. This human form is also temporary. It's going to die. We have got birth and death. But in respect to this body, we can take a Krishna consciousness in advance. That is the importance of Krishna consciousness. In the human form, we can take up. That's the advantage. So it is like a sandalwood. Even though there are so many bodies, But our body is like sandalwood. With the human form is like a sandalwood. Therefore, it should be used very carefully. That is why it is very precious. Now, coming back to the 8.4 million species. Okay, let us see how it is important. We are going to see the evolution of the humans from the bottom till the human species. First, on the bottommost rung is the trees. The consciousness is very, very dull. The trees have only the sense of what do the tree have? Sense of touch only. That's the bottommost. This is the bottommost of the consciousness. The human being, if he has got the dullest consciousness, if he is pushed down to the bottommost, then he can become trees and plants. Because they got only the sense of touch. Whenever you touch a plant, you know how it changes or it has got some reaction. So they got only sense of touch. We are seeing how the senses are slowly evolving. The sense of perception is the only thing by which a living entity grows up gradually. Next one is aquatic. Fishes and all this, you know. What do they have? They have the sense of?
Taste.
In the Bhagavatam class, if you are going onto your phone, you are not going to be attentive.
I'm writing down notes.
Okay. If it is writing down notes, it's good. Because you are not going to make a full work of it, actually. So, aquatics. What is in aquatics? What do they have? They have the sense of taste. So aquatic fish has got the sense of touch as well as a sense of taste. Then the next one is bees and insects. What do they have?
Smell.
Yes, smell. Obviously. The sense of smell. In addition to the bottom one, you know, sense. Now, once again, going back, the trees has got, how many forms are there? 2 million forms. When we say 8.4 million, these are the forms we are talking about. 8.4 million of forms means what? Consciousness. Based on the consciousness, they get a form. So, 2 million types of trees and plants are there. It is true. And then, aquatics is 900,000, close to 1 million. Then, bees and insects. And the next category, both is 1.1 million. What's the next category? The next category is serpents, crawling. What do they have? What sense do they have? In addition to all the three? The snake has got a very good hearing. Because sometimes in the dark night, the toad, you know, they'll be cracking. So the snake, even though it is in darkness, it'll say, oh, the toad is there, you know, tadpoles are there. So it'll go and take it. So hearing, the snake has got a very good hearing. And therefore it goes and takes its prey. Then, what's the next one? The next one is birds and animals. What is, they have developed a little bit of intelligence. What do? They can distinguish one form from another form. Birds. That is why we can see that the animals like tiger and all that, they will not, they might kill or something their own cubs and their family members, but they will only attack the others. Because they know, this is my pizza, this is my lasagna, I'm going to eat, and things like that, they're going to attack. They can distinguish between one form to another form. They know who is superior to them and who is junior to them, who is inferior to them. Accordingly, they'll attack. You know? So they can distinguish. So they are all belong to the four-legged groups. And then comes the two-legged, which is human. And the human form is 400. 400 different forms or species. Or not species, you can say. 400 different consciousness of humans. It is true. One may ask, does it mean that there are 400 types, you know, of human being. What we mean is a consciousness. The three modes, right? It mixed together to make these forms. All based on three modes of determination. Yeah? So, this is about the different evaluation. So, in our process, right? So the mind and the senses are giving problem. So, what is the best way to control the mind? Easy way to control the mind. Simple. Hear and chant. Not only chanting, you should hear also. Hear what? Hearing and chanting. First it comes with Shravanam and Kirtanam. Hearing and chanting is a primary aspect of devotional service. Very, very important. Okay. Having said all that, that's all good. A person is progressing, like Manmohan Prabhu. Progressing, you know, is going higher and higher. You know? Progressing in everyone. Manmohan Prabhu, oh, he's so, you know, clever, smart, and all the going. Now, what happens? Maya is also seeing. What is that? I'm sorry, Prabhu, I'm giving a wrong. Maybe not you. I say for me. Oh, Surya Gopala is thinking that he's talking too much of, you know, classes. Okay, let us pull a little bit and see what he is up to the mark, okay? Is he really talking or not? So Maya can trick. Because again, Maya is nothing but the Lord's own energy. Krishna's own energy is going to test. Like an examiner, you know. An examiner will get the best student. Right, Prabhu? University, we want the best student. So we will give them hard questions. Let them answer. One who answers the hardest question is a brilliant fellow. So this is what Krishna wants. The purest to come to him. So, Maya is will also, because so far we are talking about Krishna consciousness and all that. The other side will see. Maya side, this person, okay. Let us try to see what this guy is up to, okay. Then Krishna will say, go on. I'll give you permission. Okay. So, there are three ways. One can fall down. Very important for us, isn't it? One is, as we discussed, the mind is full of desires, right? Through the desire, one can fall down. And the second one is through intelligence. If the intelligence is not sharpened, if it is not sharpened with Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, then also one can fall down. Right? But these two are okay. The third one is very dangerous. What is that? You will say offense and all that. That is a different category. That's Krishna's side. You're talking Maya's side, okay? Offense is Krishna's side. If you do an offense, that's okay. But this is completely Maya's side, is mind, intelligence, and
ego.
That's again ego, little bit higher fall down. We are going to see some scriptural history, scriptural fruit. How these people cannot come back? The only mind means senses. If I say 100 rupees, 100 rupees, 10 rupees already included. So when you say mind, senses already a package. Mind, intelligence and faith, heart. That's most important. Heart. Where is a faith stored? You know, Krishna consciousness. First is Adho Shraddha. Where is the faith? Not in the mind, not in the intelligence, the heart. So the heart changes. Therefore one becomes a devotee. Prabhu, don't put your fingers in the mouth. You have to wash and come. Go wash your hands and come. It's a standard. Okay. So what happens is, quickly. So three levels are there. Okay. Mind, intelligence and heart. Faith. Okay. We are going to see three scriptural stories from Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay? The first one is, what's the first one for the mind? I'm thinking. Okay. Chaitanya Charitamrita. We are taking Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had an assistant known as Kala Krishna. Have you heard that? Now, this is also appropriate here. Kala Krishna is an assistant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord himself. Very powerful. Now, what happened when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the South Indian tour? Kala Krishna, it was decided by all the devotees. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will not decide anything. It will be decided by all the senior members and the devotees, okay? Then the devotees said, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, O Lord, please take Kala Krishna Prabhu. He is a very good friend of you. He is a very nice person. He will help you out. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will not refuse, no? Devotees, yes, okay, I'll take it. So he went along with the Lord. The Lord had the South Indian tour. At one point, Kala Krishna, imagine, again I'm stressing this point, it's a personal associate and a servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord. What happened? He came in contact with the gypsy women, the group. Gypsy group was there and all that, and Kala Krishna was attracted to one girl. You know, gypsy, they don't take bath. Maybe once a while or something. So dirty people. And this Kala Krishna, he is under the Lord's lotus feet, so pure by mind and also by body. Somehow he got attracted to the gypsy lady who is impure, and the character also we don't know. Then they started mingling. And he was so much attracted to the girl, he went and stayed overnight in the group. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got, see, the Lord himself, he got so angry and furious. He tolerated. Next day morning, he went into the camp. You know, because he's a Lord, he caught hold of him and brought him back. And he said, you left my service and you've gone to a lady and enjoying. And therefore, he said, he did not look at it. He tolerated for the few. When he went back, he said, this guy, I don't want him. Take him away. I don't want to see the rest of my life. Because he left my association and gone to a lady to enjoy. Okay? Then later on, people devised a plan and they brought him back, Kala Krishna, back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay? Now, this is, he could not, the desire was overwhelming for him. Okay? So he could not control the desire and he went into the lady and all that. So this is at the mind level. But because of the association of the devotees, he came back. This is possible, okay? Even though there is that, but we should not use it as a practice. It is possible. Then the second one, story, is a mind. Sorry, first is a mind desire. Second one is intelligence. In the sixth chapter, Sukadeva Goswami is talking about this story. Ajamila. He's born in a Brahmin family. Following all the religious principles properly. Spot on. But what happened? Once he went into the deep woods to collect some, you know. Prabhu, you're again doing that. Yeah. So, what happens is, he went into the wood. Okay, to collect, he went into the deep forest to collect some woods for his yagya. Now, on the way, collecting the woods and come, he saw Sudra, one man and a woman embracing each other. And that was reflected in his mind. He could not forget that sight. Wherever he goes, that is in the intelligence, in the, you know, mind, and it was disturbing so much. Now, he was so much overwhelmed by that. What he did? He lost Buddhi Nasho, lost his intelligence. He wanted to live with a lady. So, he had a Brahminical wife. He said, I don't want. He went and caught that prostitute and he was living with her. And we know what happened. At the age of 80, he got a son, and therefore, but what happened is, because his intelligence was lost, till the end of the life, he could not come back to Krishna. But because he had the association of
Vishnu.
Correct, spot on, Vishnu Dutan's association, therefore he was corrected. And just at the last fag end, almost in a boundary side. So very risky. Intelligence also very risky. Then we see the faith level in the heart. If the heart is lost, Krishna consciousness, one will never come, however much ears or something. What is the scriptural story for this? In Ramayana, when Lord is going to be coronated as a king, just a day before, Kaikeyi had a conversation with Mandara. Kaikeyi loves Rama more than her own son, Bharat. That was the state. And this Mandara came overnight preaching Bhagavatam class. On and on and on. What are you? You're a fool. You don't know what is a plan. Your son is important. You gave birth to him. You know, please consider this. He said, come on, don't talk all this nonsense. Rama, you know, is my son. He said, no, like this, you know, this way, that way. By the overnight, see, listening to that constant, you know, what you call non-devotees association with Mandara, Kaikeyi was a devotee. Changed. And she said, yes, I want not only Ram to not to accept, but to go out of Ayodhya. Leave and go. So look at that. By overnight association. At that, what happened was, completely Kaikeyi's faith, you know, Mandara disrupted. Removed the faith. Adoshraddha. The faith is gone. We see that in the case of non-devotees, they will not come to Krishna consciousness. Even if they come, they'll go away. Why? Because the heart is where the faith is stored. And they don't have faith. Looking at, what is this? Is Krishna? Some marble you're praying. I don't know. I want to go to the movie. I want to go and take a coffee. Simple. No faith. But in Krishna consciousness, what happens? The Lord is giving you faith. No matter. Whatever I tell you guys, you will not go. Because of the faith. That is given by the Lord himself. So the faith, if it is destroyed, or faith if it is not there, one needs very difficult to come to Krishna. That is why our process, everything there is a faith, starts with faith, and when you do what? Bhajana Kriya or Sadhu Sankha, Bhajana Kriya, all this faith is constantly growing. And when you go to Bhava and Prema, you've got the topmost, Krishna, 100% faith. So right now, as a neophyte, we start with 2%, 3% like that. And then the faith goes. So the faith is the most important thing in Krishna consciousness. That is why we should nourish that. That is why our process is a faith process. It starts with the faith and grows. Okay? Now, finally, to end this class, I've got a small story to finish off. This is because about talking about mind and senses, we'll have a small story regarding mind and senses. Okay? Once there was a sage. Sage is on the top of a mountain. He was meditating. A small young person was climbing the mountain. He went to the top of the mountain somehow, because he is just a young person, mountaineering, climbed, and he went to the sage. And he was looking at all the sage. He could not understand who the sage is. He's doing meditation and all that. Then he thought, should I disturb or not? But he was curious to know what he was doing. He did not even know that's meditation. Should I disturb him or not? Should I disturb him or not? He was wondering. At that time, the sage opened eyes. Hare Krishna, what do you want? Then this guy, the young person, said, what are you doing? I want to know what you're doing. I'm very curious to know. You're sitting in a place at the top of the mountain, because I came as expedition, but you're sitting there. What are you doing? Then the sage said, listen, I'm very busy. Don't disturb me. And this young person was surprised. What are you doing? You're very busy. I see you that you're sitting all by yourself. Why are you saying you're busy? Please explain to me what you're doing. He said, I'm very busy. I'm controlling someone and therefore I'm busy. Still, the young person could not understand. He said, please, sir, please be elaborate. Tell me. He said, I am controlling two hawks, two eagles, two rabbits, one snake, one donkey. What is it? He's controlling what? Two hawks, two eagles, two rabbits, one snake, one body. What is the body? Donkey's body. Okay? I'm managing this. Then this young person became very curious. Okay, something interesting. He looked at all the sides. He went there. The yogi, he told this. He was not joking, he was serious. Then he went around and saw, sir, you know, he got a little bit scared. What are you saying? There are no donkey, there is no snake, and there's no rabbit or anything. And you're saying that. He said, my son, I'm trying very seriously to, you know, control this. Please don't disturb me, you know. He was more curious. Please, sir, I'm calling at your feet. Please explain to me, what do you mean? Then the sage said, yes. When I said I'm controlling two hawks, I mean I'm controlling my two eyes. Because hawk is there, eagle is there also. What's the difference between hawk and eagle? The hawk is a smaller animal, but the eagle is bigger. The eagle is very powerful with the legs. The eagle can even snatch you with your leg. So powerful with the leg. But hawk goes for a smaller prey. It's similar to the eagle, but it likes smaller prey. But the eagle, it will not, if it wants, it can even pick you up. Some powerful eagles are there. Very powerful with their legs. Okay? So he said, when I say hawk, I mean the two eyes. Because hawks, you know, if it sees something, it's got a very powerful eyes. Both of them have got powerful eyes, hawk and the eagle. Hawk, smaller prey, as I said, it will go, suppress on the prey and then kill it and take it. Such powerful. But it doesn't care who it is, it just lands. He said, I'm controlling the hawk, I said, because my eyes, it doesn't discriminate. If I see someone, immediately look without any discrimination. And therefore, I'm trying to control my hawks. He said, when I meant the eagle, I meant my hands. My hands have got no control. Whatever I do, whatever I feel like I do it, I don't have control. So I meant the eagle. When I said rabbit, I meant my legs, which is very soft. The legs doesn't want to do austerity, want to walk or anything. It just want to lie down and then on the sofa and nicely, you know, relax. That's why I said rabbit, because many people, they, you know, they put their, you know, whatever the legs and all that in. So my legs are soft like rabbit, but it wants to stay in one place. You know, rabbit, it doesn't want to go out one place. Warmth, it likes warmth. Then, when I said snake, I meant my tongue. My tongue is very, very poisonous. It always bites others through my words. Without my knowledge, I will bite. Because very harsh word I use on others. And therefore, I become like a venomous snake with my tongue. I am trying very hard to control that. And then, when I said donkey, I mean this body, because very lazy. I don't want to do anything. I want to relax. So this body in comparison with a donkey. Therefore, I am trying to work very hard to control my senses. That's what I am trying to say. For you, it may look that I am not doing anything. But internally, I am meditating to control. It's very difficult to control. Right? So what is a yogi trying to control? He's trying to control his eyes. He's trying to control his hands. He's trying to control his legs. He's trying to control his tongue. And he's trying to control his whole body, which is full of senses. The body is a bag of senses. And therefore, what is our process? We need not have to go to the Himalayas and, you know, shivering and control my hand and like this. What is our process? Simply engage in Srila Prabhupada's movement. Krishna conscious movement. All you have to do is joyfully perform. You may not have to do it with sadness. Simply engage in Krishna conscious activity. And then you are already controlled. This is a process. Right? Okay. Now we will stop here. You had a bit of a lengthy class now. It's a serious topic, mind and senses, but that's how it comes. So we have to control it, and the only way is, very easy way, is Krishna consciousness, hearing and chanting. Basic, fundamental Shravanam and Kirtanam, and then everything will follow through. Yes. We'll stop here. Anyone has got a comment, question, corrections? Yes.
Hi Krishna, thank you for the nice class. Just reading this line in the purport that unless the senses are of the gross body are developed, they will not act on the subtle body. So you have told us that the subtle body already has the form, touch, taste. They're already there in the subtle body. And then when these senses of the gross body develop, then they link to that. The interesting thing is, after the youth, when there's old age, the senses are not so active, but these senses are still active.
It's stored, already stored. It's already stored, impressions are stored. See, when you say senses, that's why, you know, one class I was talking about sense and sense organ. So senses are there, but that's why Srila Prabhupada very cleverly has coined that word. That's why even in the beginning of the class I said, there are three types of sense organs, you know, that Srila Prabhupada is making. Once, when a child is in the womb, the senses are not developed, Srila Prabhupada is saying. Then, when you become a child, you know, 7-8 years old, then the senses are underdeveloped. When you are a youth and on, when you say youth means youth and on, the senses are fully developed, correct? So, underdeveloped, not developed, underdeveloped, fully developed. Now, when it's fully developed, whatever impressions you do, it is there. And therefore, in the old age, it's very difficult to remove it. Only the chanting process will remove. Yes. So, what is your question actually?
Just a comment that actually it's stored since many lifetimes, but still when a person is young, it's not active. Even though, like you're saying, in old age the impressions are there, but actually even in childhood the impressions are there from past lives. But it's different how it acts.
Good. Very good point. Now, I don't have a reference, but I've heard a couple of lectures stating that a person's mode, you know, the mode is nature will come only after 13 years, teenage. And therefore, in our moment also, we heard that a child up to 5 years, he may not have to follow Ekadashi. Because, you know, but the child, when it is 11, 12, 13 years, teenage, the modes will come. He wants to, you know, whatever. He wants to act in a movie, he likes the opposite sex, or he wants to be a singer, whatever it may be. You know, the modes will come then. Because the senses, you know, it is still not mature. Like, you can, just a mundane example is, if you sow a seed, you know, you can see the seed is inside the soil, but it's not popped up. Like that. The senses are there. So, when they are in the teenager, it will come up. All will come up. That's why in our moment, especially the parents are a bit scared. My son is 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, it's okay. Now when he becomes a teenager, what will happen? Based on the association. If you're associating with Australian person, that's what they will get. You're not going to associate with the Australian and become a pure devotee, no? Rather than marriage. So if you associate in the school with all the Aussie kids, that's what happens. Right? So association is so important. Atat san tyaga. So association is important because with the devotees you should, it's been stressed twice if you see association. Amongst devotees you should have association. Among non-devotees you should not have association. So association is the one thing which is common. Right? In our movement, you must associate with devotees, you should not associate with non-devotees. That's the reason for that.
So, like in old age, you know, even though the senses are not strong, how come the desires are still there? You know? They don't weaken.
No, in the old age, the senses are not strong. The desire is still there. I give you a very quick example. Time is there. This is a story of Akbar. Akbar had a minister, right? Birbal. Birba, right? Birba, Birba. Now, Akbar is a very smart king, okay? He asked Birbal, do you think that when a person has a desire, in the old days, is there still a desire there or it is gone? Akbar said, because of the old age, you know, the senses say, I want to eat, my tongue, I don't have a tongue, my teeth, I don't feel like tasting, I don't feel like, you know, forget. But does it mean that because you cannot eat or something, the desire goes away? Then Birbal said, no, the desire for the old person is still there. Especially the lusty desire is still there. That is why he is taking next birth. Then Akbar could not believe that. Please, can you prove it to me? Birbal said, no problem. Now, the Akbar had got a beautiful prince. Then he said, in your place, I want to take the king to a place, you know. The Birbal said, Akbar said, fine. So they figured out that one of the old guy was about to die, you know. He's very old, some 90 years or something. He was in his deathbed. Then Birbal devised a plan such that first he will go, then the king will come, and then finally the princess will come. The girl will come. Now what happened? The death man was, you know, dying almost, you know. He was on the verge of his death. Then when he saw Birbal, he did not bother. When he saw Akbar the king, you know, Akbar was full of gold and all that. But when the young girl came, he was like this. Then Birbal looked at Akbar. Akbar said, the desire is there. He cannot enjoy. But like that. So, desire is very important. Krishna explains why the Supreme Lord is explained, overwhelmed. He's talking to his dear friend Uddhava, like how we talk, you know. Krishna has explained to Uddhava, Uddhava, material energy, desires are overwhelming, very difficult. But if someone is engaged in my service, no problem. But one must engage in Krishna's service, otherwise, very difficult. And sincerely, day in and day out, it's not, we cannot take a rest, you know. Then it is okay. The moment you go away from Krishna, that's a problem. Repeatedly we said this, Krishna boli se jiva. The moment you forget Krishna, you are gone. Because moment you forget Krishna means backward, you are turning your back. When you turn your backward, who you are seeing? Maya. Therefore better you see Krishna always front. You turn, you show your backward to Krishna, then you have to face Maya. That's a logic. Right? Okay, perfect. Any other comments, questions? Yes, Mataji.
It's
Mataji, in the class I explained how Brahma's four sons have asked a question and Brahma could not answer. So please, I should not don't ask a question like Brahma's sons. Yes, Mataji.
Sorry, it's regarding to the subtle senses and the gross senses, or the organ of the senses. The concept of, or the perception of enjoyment is subtle, it's gross, because when we talk about the senses in the mind, because they're already there, when we experience kind of sense enjoyment, it's in the mental platform, the perception or the understanding that we are enjoying, or it's gross. Because I'm trying to understand, for example, when Mataji talk about the desires and the senses in the mind, but when you are getting old, the senses are not working, they're not functional for the satisfaction of those desires. So trying to understand that subtlety of the difference between the senses in the mind and the sense organs. Where is the enjoyment, the experience of the enjoyment?
It is all felt in the mind.
Yes.
In the mind. The mind, see, what happens is, in the material world, everything is a mind. Of course, there's a false ego component and all that. That is secondary. In the spiritual world, everything is soul. So whatever you do, see, I have a desire to eat, I have a desire to go, I have a desire to hit, everything is mind. In fact, the false ego works to protect the mind. The false ego duty is to protect the mind. Mind is the component in the material world. Everything is revolving around mind.
Then we can experience also, for example, during the dream state. So while we are dreaming, we are sometimes even enjoying eating and listening, whatever kind of experience of enjoying while we are dreaming. So the senses in the mind are active and experience that. The question also related to the subtle bodies, so we call the ghost. For the enjoyment or the level of frustration is because they are not able to enjoy, but the senses are in the subtle platform that they have. So why is that a problem?
This is for any enjoyment, you know, the cycle has to be completed. As I explained, you know, as Krishna is also explaining, senses should be attracted to the sense object. When you enjoy the sense object, that's lodged in the mind. As long as it's not lodged in the mind, you're okay. For example, I'm touching this and I'm feeling that is lodged in my mind. Oh, it is cold, it is hard. See, it is lodged in my mind. If I don't touch it, I don't know that it's cold and it's hard. Now, this feeling is in the mind. It will not go away. So therefore, the easier way in our process to control is, first you come from the gross to the subtle. You can't go from the subtle to the gross. So first is, I should not touch this and I should not feel it. Again, coming back, I'm touching this, I'm feeling it is cold and it is hot. It is hard. Hard. And therefore it is lodged in my mind, and the thought of hard and cold is stuck in my mind. So the first is, don't withdraw your, Krishna says, like a tortoise. Withdraw your sense organs. Don't touch it. Then it is lodged. Right? And when it is lodged, the pleasure is lodged and the mind is pushing for that again. Again it's lodged. And then it comes into the cycle of vritti, samskara and vasana. Practice. First it comes as a thought. If you act on the thought, it becomes samskara, impression. If you again act on the impression, it becomes tendency, habit. That cycle continues. And that is stored in chitta, consciousness. Not in the mind, in the consciousness, soul. Slowly it goes into the consciousness. Is it okay, Mataji? Is it okay?
Yeah.
So the gross has got an effect on the subtle. But because in our system, you know, Krishna says, don't even have the gross. Gross has an impact. It's a two-way process. Senses are attached to the sense object, and sense object is lodged in the mind. Once it's lodged in the mind, it's very difficult.
I'm also trying to understand in different levels of experience of the nature. We have entities superior than human bodies, like demigods and other... Yeah,
devadas, yeah. Demigods.
Their body are not gross.
Exactly.
And they don't have that interaction with the gross to impress in the chitta.
But still they've got hands, they can feel it. But their pleasure is
subtle.
More pleasure there. Subtle is more pleasure.
So it's not the gross to the subtle, it's the subtle.
Subtle to subtle. In our case, Mataji, gross to subtle. There is subtle to subtle. They still they got hands.
Yeah.
Still they, you know. Subtle. And subtle is very important. The subtle is very dangerous. In fact, gross is okay. Say for example, I don't want to see you, I can close my eyes. But if I am having a figure of you in my mind, I cannot lock that. So in our case, it's better. If I don't want to eat, I'll go away from the place. But the subtle demigods, you know, when demigods also very dangerous, Mataji. For example, you know, the sun god, he wanted to have an affair with his driver's wife. Arun, why do you talk about this? Overwhelmed.
I'm also trying to understand the different experience of the living entity who is passing through different bodies. We were in all the cycle of the 8,000, 8 million 400,000 comes in different type of body, including the bodies of sitting gods, or superior living entities, and lowers. So trying to understand that impression and that experience of the senses in the subtle body, because is the inner permanent, it's more permanent than the gross body, and the chitta and the consciousness of the living entity. For me, it's more in that way, understanding that process.
Yeah, so probably answering your question, the demigod is the mode of goodness. Mode of goodness means sense control. Mode of passion means more of senses. Because we are in the earthly planet, right? We are made up of mode of passion. Mode of passion means senses are all made up of mode of passion. We must interact with the senses, gross senses. But the demigod already there, because of the consciousness, they are in the mode of goodness. Mode of goodness means sense control. See, they will not do atrocities like humans. Once in a while, they'll do something wrong. Not all the time. You know, here, day in and day out, the person will drink and do nonsense. But demigod, they might have done once or twice and that's it. Because they are in the mode of goodness. In the mode of passion, desire is very overwhelming. And then in the mode of ignorance, it is atrocious. So their status is already mode of goodness. They are already, you know, the sense control is there. Once a while they are excited or whatever maybe, you know. Just. So having said that, we cannot compare the mode of passion with mode of goodness, no? It is something like comparing iron with gold, you know, like that. So their structure is different. We have to compare apple and apple, oranges and orange, rather than, you know.
By Brahma, it was based on passion, because you cannot create in goodness. But just trying also to understand that, because due to that nature of passion, the interaction with the senses and sense object, and how the Kumaras inquire.
Very good question. Now, what happens is, say, as a devotee is right, we should be in the mode of goodness.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what Srila Prabhupada once said. Now, when I go into the altar, I have to have some mode of passion. If I'm in the mode of goodness, I will not be doing arati. I'll be catching like this. So you need passion in the mode of goodness. Act is goodness, but you need some passion. Passion means movement. You need passion to do arati and do the flowers and all that. So that is part of the activity, because Brahma is also in the three modes. So for this activity creation, you need some passion. So even though I am doing transcendental service to the Lord, the passion is required to do arati. It's an act. So in that way, it is embedded, you know. You cannot say it is a passion. It is mode of transcendental mode, right? Give you an example. But for Brahma's creation, he was already creating bodies, different bodies. So he was overwhelmed for some time. As I said, sometimes they are also overwhelmed, not all the time. So when Krishna explains the story of Brahma, that is after many, once a time Brahma did that. It doesn't mean that he's doing all the time. Very rarely they come down and they go up. In our case, we always exist in mode of passion or ignorance. But the demigod, in the mode of goodness, 1 second they'll drop down and they go back like that. Just a mundane. Is it okay, Mandy?
Yeah,
are you confused?
I have other questions, but I think
take it maybe offline or something.
Thank you.
But that's over, you know what I mean? So in essence we can say demigods are in the mode of goodness. But at times they can drop to the mode of passion. Occasionally. Because they are governed by the three modes. They're still in the three modes. But we as humans, in the mode of passion, we are always fall down because of that is our nature. Okay. Hare Krishna. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki Nithai Gaurav Prabhupada.